it's just got started raining even heavier again. It seems appropriate as I begin to wax eloquently, I promise, about joy. Because sometimes I just don't feel it. And here it comes, the third Sunday in Advent, always deep into the December celebration, always close to the shortest day of the year, the darkest night of the year. Sometimes I feel like these two poems I thought of, here's the last stanza. You'll know this, I'll bet. Oh, somewhere in this favored land, the sun is shining bright. The band is playing somewhere, and somewhere hearts are light. And somewhere men are laughing, and somewhere children shout. But there is no joy in Mudville, right? Because the mighty Casey has struck out. I'm glad you guys were right there. It's a sophisticated crowd I'm working with here. I was walking around this week, and I want to be light and joy-filled, but sometimes I feel myself walking around like, there is no joy in Mudville. And sometimes I feel like the guy who sings this, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Judith's going to sing this in a little while. She'll sing goodwill to all, which I also like. You guys know who wrote this one? Longfellow, William, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, right. Anybody know when he wrote it? During the Civil War. Yeah, 1863. His son was killed in the Civil War, close to Christmas, I think. His wife had just died in a fire. you can see why he might feel this way. He says, and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to all. Do you ever feel like that? Do you feel like we live in dark days sometimes? I mean, you're probably not watching the TV if you don't have that sense. The TV really... That's how they make their living. That's how they make their money, is to make us scared and despairing and depressed, frankly. Talk to your doctor about. But he doesn't stay in that place, right? He's a poet, and sometimes poets wallow for a while. I can vouch for that. But he says, then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to all. I found another verse in that. That's a hymn, you know. It's been made into a hymn. And like I say, I think Judith's going to do a more contemporary rendering of that, aren't you? You changed. Yeah, okay. But there's just some soulful things in here. When I think about the context of writing this while you've lost two members of your family, one to fire and one to war. he says, it was as if an earthquake rent. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. That's the verse right before, and in despair I bowed my head. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, 1863. He has something in common with this guy. Paul wrote a letter to the Philippians. And in this is one of his most beloved letters. It's a shorter one. You know, Romans goes on, and he waxes eloquently or something. He waxes, we'll just say that. But here in Philippians, it's a short, you know, there's four chapters in this book. It's a letter. Anybody know where he might have been when he wrote this letter? He was in prison. He was always in prison. Let's stop for a minute. Why was Paul always in prison? Brad, do you know why Paul was always in prison? The Romans did not like what he was preaching and teaching. He was, what would the word be today we might use for this? Huh?
Trumbo.
Trumbo. He was that. We might say he had been radicalized. Have you heard that word recently? I wonder if these terrorists have been radicalized. Right? It's not a new thing. Several things today are not new, right? Living in dark days, knowing the despair of death and destruction, these have been around and probably will be for a long time. So how do we have the audacity that Paul has to live with joy, authentic, real joy, not fake joy? I'm pretty good with fake joy, I'll be honest. I can put a smile on, I can say, hi, how are you? But authentic joy, coming from some deep place where maybe you're in a cell, maybe you're chained to your Roman soldier, literally in chains, writing a letter. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. I call this sermon extreme joy. Paul, again, another word, extremist. Is he an extremist? We've heard from extremists this week, I think. I almost, you know, the whole mass shooting thing and what we do after, I've almost come to dread the 2 weeks after a mass shooting more than the thing itself because of what it does to the public discourse. The rhetoric, the vitriol, the fear, some of it well-founded, some of it just stirred up by said TV and other sources. But I really come to dread the things people say. Some of them in the name of Christianity. Oh, the Muslims are going to do this. Well, let's see what we got. And this preacher at a Christian university says, well, if those Muslims come here, just wait till they see what I got in my back pocket. And I would encourage all of you to go out and get a gun and get a permit to carry a gun. He's telling this to his student body at a Christian university in the name of good faith so that we can eliminate the bad guys who happen to be of another faith. I just find this despicable. This is what I dread about the aftermath of this kind of activity. And I think, you know, what would Paul have said? Well, I know what he would have said. He would have said, you know, he would have called on his faith, supposedly the same faith that we call Christianity, although I don't think he would recognize some of what he sees today as being Christian. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. How's that for Christianity? How's that for extremism? In prison, being chained for your beliefs, for your convictions, being shut down and shut out and locked up because you speak your mind, let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. When God is near, what do? You pack heat, of course. You seek revenge. You show them who's boss, whose God is bigger and stronger. No, sorry, that's not how this Bible reads anyway. I don't know where you're reading, where you're getting your stuff, but this stuff says, let your gentleness be known. The nearer God is, maybe the more gentle you need to be. That's the message of Jesus. That's the message of Paul. And you would think it would be the message of millions of billions of Christians around the world. And sometimes it is, and sometimes it isn't. We can't be responsible for all of it. But we are responsible for who we are. So I'm calling for extreme faith today. I'm inviting you to radicalize with me. I want to reclaim that word. It's a bad word. It's been dirtied and sullied, right, by the media, by terrorists, by people, even the guy that shoots up an abortion clinic in the name of his Christianity. Radicalized, bad. Paul is a radical. There's no way to avoid that. Jesus was a radical. Another Advent character who shows up today on the third Sunday of Advent, we didn't read from Luke's gospel, but John the Baptist. He was the quintessential radical. He said the axe is laid at the root. That's where the word radical comes from, like the word radish. It's to get at the root of things. And he's got this axe, and he's ready to cut down the tree that is the faith of the people of Israel, because it's bad. And he says it's a bad tree, has bad fruit. Let your faith be known by its fruits. So he's calling these people. He's preaching in the wilderness. You know him as a radical, the whole camel hair, the eating bugs, living on nothing in the desert. Pretty radical. He wants to shake our faith from the roots up. That's what I'd like to do. That's what I'm calling for as I invite you to be radicalized. I'm not asking you to carry heat. I don't care if you have own guns. I'm not going to wade into that. I don't care. What I'm asking for is radical joy. Let's live our lives with the kind of radical joy that comes from deep inside, that changes lives. And maybe it does things like spends the night at the church and offers some hospitality to homeless families and gives them just a little bit of hope that somebody out there is on their side, is willing to serve them a meal, or maybe offer them a ride or some resources. I think Sue said she gave somebody some names. They're really looking for work. They would love to have a job. She gave them several phone numbers. Why don't you try these places? Look for work. That's radicalized faith that lives with authentic joy that can't be shaken. I can easily be shaken. I got to be honest with you. That's why I walk around like I'm in Mudville. There is no joy. Bah, humbug. But in my moments, and I do have a few, when I encounter a word of faith, like rejoice in the Lord always, and the peace of God, here it is, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds. Isn't it interesting? The parts of us that need protecting, Paul seems to know, it's your heart and your mind that's going to get you into trouble. So I'm gonna wrap them with an unsurpassable, ununderstandable, incomprehensible love and peace. Keep your hearts and your minds in the love and knowledge of Christ Jesus. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, all right. You've now been radicalized. Amen.
The good kind.
The good kind. Thank you.